to Total Wealth Academy's GetTotalWealth.com radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money and were able to lead more balanced lives using real estate. Now, your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where, as always, we're here together working to improve our financial IQ, figure out better ways to make money. The primary directive, if you will, is to build a second stream of income. You're supposed to have your job and then build a second stream of income that's equal to or in excess of what you make at your job. I like the concept of take whatever you make at your job, double it. That's what you should have in passive income. You make $8,000 a month at your job, build a second stream of income of $16,000 a month. That means all your bills are paid and you have money for romance, travel, and all the parts of a balanced life. Total Wealth Academy is a platform for educating, coaching real estate investors. We educate and coach people who have never owned a piece of real estate before, and we have people join who already have 5,000 apartment units. They just want to take it to the next level. Today, I want to talk about something that we've been discussing quite a bit. We're studying it at Total Wealth Academy in our Saturday class, and really even in our free sample class, we touch on it. But last night I hate saying I came up with this. It dawned on me. That's probably the best way to say it. I had an epiphany because I was sitting there and I said, you know, how can I help my members take more action, be more effective, be more successful? What can I take away? What can people take away when I teach that will help them move past mediocrity? And what we've been studying a lot at Total Wealth Academy is this concept of the effort minimizing brain. So I want to review something that I've shared with you before. If you want to know how we evolved with an effort minimizing brain, I want you to think about this. You've got two cavemen. This is 10,000, 20,000 years ago. They come upon an apple tree. One of them has already evolved the effort minimizing brain. The other one doesn't have an effort minimizing brain. Well, the effort minimizing brain caveman goes, lots of nice apples on this tree. I think I'll take one from the bottom. Effort minimizing. The other caveman without the effort minimizing brain says, no, there's a really shiny one at the top. So, using a lot of effort, he climbs the tree, grabs that shiny apple, and using more effort, climbs down the tree. Problem. When he gets to the bottom of the tree, someone else is waiting for him, a tiger. Both of the cavemen start running away from the tiger. Which one do you think the tiger is going to catch? The one who climbed the tree, because he's already expended a lot of effort. He's tired from climbing the tree. He gets eaten. The caveman who had the effort minimizing brain doesn't get eaten, reproduces, and passes on the effort minimizing brain. There's evolution in a nutshell. So we all, almost all of us, because there's still a few that don't have an effort minimizing brain. But almost all of us have an effort minimizing brain. And by the way, if you don't understand that story, there's a joke. Two men are in the jungle. They hear a lion. One of the men takes off his backpack, takes off his hiking boots, and puts on a pair of running shoes. The other guy goes, "You can't outrun a tiger." And the guy with the running shoes says, "I don't have to outrun him. I just have to outrun you." So there's what happened. But it's anyway, with the effort minimizing brain, we've been talking about it from the subject line of the effort minimizing brain keeps you from taking action. You only have about 5 seconds after making a decision to follow through on it, because within 5 seconds, your effort minimizing brain is going to tell you it won't work, it's too much work, it's probably not a good idea. You know, it's like a lot of you have said, "I'm going to go to their free sample class." But isn't it true that 5 seconds later you're going, "Yeah, but I got to drive over there, and I only have half a tank of gas. I might have to stop and fill up the car." And you just, your effort minimizing brain just talks you out of it. So this lady, and I'm sorry, I don't know her name, said it best when she said, "I assume I have less than 5 seconds after I make a decision to take action, no matter how small the action is, on that decision." And what she does is in the morning when her alarm goes off, she goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and she has to be standing up out of the bed by the time she counts down to 0. Because she knows her effort minimizing brain is going to say, "Oh, come on. Just hit that snooze button. 5 more minutes. So the epiphany that I had is suddenly the idea rolled across my mind, why do people live paycheck to paycheck? Why do people just do enough to survive? Some of you have already figured out what I'm going to say next, haven't you? It's that effort-minimizing brain. See, your effort-minimizing brain doesn't want to do anything more than just survive. It doesn't want to thrive. It doesn't want to excel. That requires effort, and you could get eaten by a tiger. So it talks you out of pushing yourself beyond survival. But if you're like me and you don't want to just survive, you want to thrive, you've got to push yourself past that instinct and get yourself to take massive action. And we'll talk about how to do that in the next segment here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thank you so much for listening.
Do you dream of a better life for you and your family? Do you want more time with the family? Would you like to be less dependent on a job for your income? Would you like to travel more? The solution is simple. Build a second stream of income. We can show you how. We are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. To reserve a seat, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and we're right in the middle of a conversation about how damaging allowing just your instinctual, natural brain to control your life. That your brain is really not designed to excel. It's designed to survive. Effort minimizing brain. So how do you get past that? Now, the first thing I want you to understand is you don't want to eliminate, which you couldn't do anyway, your effort minimizing brain. The reason is your effort minimizing brain keeps you lazy, and laziness leads to finding extremely efficient ways to do things. Bill Gates of Microsoft said it. He said, hey, whenever I have a hard project, I find the laziest employee and give that project to them, because they're going to find the easiest, most efficient, cost-effective way to do it. So being lazy is not a negative thing unless you let it creep over into other areas. In other words, if you're too lazy to get off your butt, yeah, that's a problem. But if you're so lazy that you figure out easy ways to do things, that's a really good problem. That's a good thing. So we're not trying to get rid of the effort minimizing brain. What we want to do is get past it. If you're like me and you don't want to survive, you want to thrive. So when we talk about people who live paycheck to paycheck, we must address lifestyle creep. Lifestyle creep. Lifestyle creep also is a factor in people living paycheck to paycheck. What it is, you start off making 30 grand a year and you live paycheck to paycheck. But then 15 years later, you're making 60 grand a year, 80 grand a year, but you notice something. You're still living paycheck to paycheck. Lifestyle creep is generally what causes that. In other words, when you're making 30 grand a year, you drove that little used Hyundai. But doggone it, you got that first promotion and now you're an executive. You got to have a BMW. So suddenly your monthly expenses go up 500 bucks and your pay raise was 500 bucks. Then you get another raise and you decide, my kids need to be in a better school district. I need a bigger house. You get a $1,000 a month raise and you go buy a house that costs you $1,000 a month more. You're still living paycheck to paycheck. But the primary, God, it's hard for me to determine. I thought I was going to say that's the primary reason you live paycheck to paycheck. But I don't think so. I think they're about even. It's your effort minimizing brain and your lifestyle creep combine to cause you to live paycheck by paycheck. But again, this is your responsibility. You have to do something about it. In other words, you can't unhear what you've just heard. You now understand the effort minimizing brain. So you now have to do something about it. But what do you do? Well, the first thing you've got to do, I know, here I go preaching about this again, write down your goals. Get them written down so you know what you're trying to achieve, so that you have clarity, you have vision. And by the way, writing down your goals, you're going to notice your energy levels increase. And it's because you have clarity of what you truly want out of life. So step one is to write down your goals. Step two, let me back up. Step one is to admit you have an effort minimizing brain. If you're going to sit there and go, oh, I don't have that, that's not right, then you're screwed. You're never going to move forward. The first thing to do is admit you have the challenge. You can't solve a challenge you don't admit you have. It's like a druggie who's like, man, I only do heroin 3 times a week. Okay, so this guy doesn't think he has a problem. Never going to solve it. So, one, admit you have an effort minimizing brain. Two, write down goals that are way beyond where you're at today. This would be moving from surviving to thriving. Then what you're going to have to do is incorporate your effort minimizing brain by being okay with being lazy. And find the most efficient, quick, cost-effective way to achieve those goals. That's the only way you're going to get past that effort-minimizing brain is to think hard. And when I say that, I don't think people realize how hard thinking is. Thinking and controlling your brain and not just allowing instinct to push you forward is difficult. It requires discipline. It requires hard work. Thinking is hard. That's why very few people do it. I've actually been in seminars where my brain hurt at the end of the seminar. And it wasn't a headache. I was tired. I was mentally tired. My eyes wanted to close. I'd learned so much that my brain was full and I needed a break. So again, admit you've got that effort minimizing brain. Embrace it. Can't do anything about it. Write down your goals. Make sure that you set them at thrive, not at survival. Remember, your effort minimizing brain is going to talk you out of writing certain goals down. Ignore them. Ignore it, I should say, and write those big goals down. Then start taking micro steps. And I can tell you this, when I wanted to get back in the gym after COVID, I took micro steps. I literally worked out 5 minutes three times the first week. 5 minutes. The next week I worked out 10 minutes, then 15. This was on a rower. And now I'm back at the gym 3 or 4 days a week where I should be. So micro steps are okay. Just make sure that you're taking some action and that your brain is focused on thriving, not just surviving. See, your brain, it easily survives. It survives with least effort. It doesn't even have to try. Your brain's going to survive. It's going to do what it takes to survive. But it won't do anything more than that unless you take control of your brain. And the best way to do that, get those goals written down. Make sure you leave space between the goals so that you can write down action steps. What action steps am I going to take? Let's say that you need to lose 50 pounds. Underneath that should be, I'm going to go to the doctor and get a physical. I'm going to go to the gym, join. I'm going to read a book on nutrition. I'm going to read 2 books on nutrition. I'm going to read a book on exercise. I'm going to get a personal trainer for a week to teach me how to use the machines properly. And I'm glad I brought that up. You know how I constantly talk to you about getting to the gym 3 or 4 times a week? Please hire a personal trainer the first week to teach you how to use the machines properly. I witnessed a guy the other day. He is going to injure himself. There's no question. He was using the machine so wrong. And then I'm always a coward to go correct people because they have a tendency to get their ego involved. You know, oh, I know how to do this. You don't need to show me. You're not an instructor. So I didn't. I feel bad because he's going to injure himself. And then you're out for 6 weeks and you're back to the 50 pounds you were before you injured yourself. So anyway, put those little steps down and then start taking those micro steps. I think it's a Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. That is so doggone true. When I heard that, it didn't resonate with me, so I hope it does resonate with you. It takes a single step. Then, as we discussed last week, you have momentum behind you. Remember, a body at rest tends to stay at rest. If you're lazy, you're not doing anything, you tend to stay that way. But the reverse is true. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. So once you do start taking these little micro steps, it becomes easier and easier to take, macro, big steps. And then it's like, I remember at one time, making 100 gram was difficult for me. I could not do it. Then I made $1 million. Then 10 million. Dollar deals I was doing, then $100 million deals. You've got to understand, those little steps are important. Once you take them, that momentum gets behind you, and the next thing you know, you're doing big numbers. Okay, this is the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. You're listening to AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thanks for listening.
Are you tired of losing money in every down market? Did you know that real estate makes money in both the up and down markets? In fact, we make more money in the down market. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Yes, we're hoping for a down market, and you should know why. To find out, attend our free 2-hour free sample class. To reserve a seat, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and we're about to head into some question and answer, both by phone and by email. I got a really nasty situation in an email that I'll read you in a second, but the phone lines are open. If you got a question for anything I've discussed today or anything I haven't discussed today, you got a fear, you got a worry, you're saying, man, I can't get myself to take action, and here's why. I'm afraid of tenants. I'm afraid of taxes. I'm afraid of insurance. I'm afraid of this or that. Give me a call, and let me share with you the best practice that has been around for hundreds of years to solve that problem. See, so many people hide behind their excuses, reasons, problems, as if they're the first person to come up with it. Oh, I know why I don't own rental real estate, because tenants are a pain. What do you really think you're the first person to ever come up with that? That the hundreds of millions of people that own rental real estate across the globe didn't figure out a way to solve that? They did. But you need to know what that is. So give me a call. 281-558-5738. 281-558-5738. KSEV, or you're welcome to email me. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Okay, this is from a member. I'll call him Matt. Okay. He's got a deal under contract. The seller has disappeared. They just can't find him. Can't get a hold of him. Can't get him to sign paperwork. Nothing. They don't know where he is. Basically missing in action. The deal has now gone beyond the closing date, so it's a dead deal. Matt wants to get his earnest money back, but guess what? Without the seller's signature, who we can't find, you're not going to get your earnest money back until that seller. Now, the seller can't sell the house without giving you your earnest money back, so there's some protection. But who knows when this guy disappears? So, Matt, the only solution I know requires an attorney. You're going to have to get in front of a judge and get that judge to understand that this guy has disappeared, that you have made and the selling agent has made every effort, and probably your attorney is going to have to make some effort trying to find this individual. Then the judge can release the earnest money. That's not going to be cheap. So it depends on how much earnest money you've got up. If this is a single family, I hope you don't have more than $2,000, $3,000, max $5,000 up. But this is not a good situation at all. So get an attorney. Prove to the judge that you cannot find this person, and he should release that earnest money. But as I said, it may cost more than $5,000 to do that. You may have to just wait it out. Because again, that guy cannot sell that property with that title open at that title company and that $5,000 or $2,000 or whatever the earnest money is in place. So if the seller does reappear, he can't steal that earnest money. He's got to release it to you before he can sell it to somebody else, or he has to continue with the contract and sell it to you. Sorry, I don't have better news on that, Matt. And sorry to hear that happen to you. Okay. Phone lines are open, 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. Or email me. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Okay. Let me type this. Sorry about that. And let's go to the next email and see what we got. We're talking to Justin now. Oh my gosh. He's basically got multiple reasons He's got multiple reasons. I can't read this whole thing. Justin, $50,000 is the minimum to invest passively. Agreed. And you've got a comment here that that's a lot of money for anyone. Let me ask you, Justin, how much do you think you need to invest to retire? It's more than 50 grand, isn't it? So your point that that's a lot of money really has to be taken with a grain of salt. Yeah, 50 grand's a lot of money, but it's nothing compared to what you have to save up. He goes on to say, you could buy a car with that 50,000, pay for private school, or make major headway on a mortgage. Really? So you're not going to invest $50,000, you're just going to spend it, you're just going to blow it? And then you make the comment, major headway on a mortgage. Justin, you don't pay off your home. That's a poor and middle class strategy. It goes on. Yeah, he's putting down that he goes on to say, do not invest in a real estate syndication. Since your cash investment won't be available 7 years, you'll need to ensure you have enough saved in a separate emergency fund created or accessible savings for additional short-term goals and have yet more cash to, well, cover life in general. Go with your gut on this one. Yeah, Justin, don't go with your gut. You got to use your head, man. With all due respect, and I truly appreciate your email, this is wrong on multiple levels. It's not an option to invest. It's a requirement. If you play Monopoly and just go around the board collecting your $200, would you ever win the game of Monopoly? No. You have to buy income-producing assets. And income-producing assets are expensive, $50,000 or more. But that's the only way to win the game, Justin. You offer no advice for what you should do with the $50,000 other than to blow it on a car or blow it on private school or pay off your mortgage, which is ineffective. That's a low expectation point. That's what the poor and middle class do. The rich don't pay off their homes, not if they know what they're doing. That's a thing called dead equity. So, Justin, please, a little more reading is required. Maybe listening to this show more, or maybe you hate me after this. But that this is wrong on so many levels. If you think that buying a car, paying for private school, or paying off a mortgage is what you should do with $50,000, you don't understand investing at all. You've got to change the way you think, Justin. And I bet you're a smart guy. I bet you're a hardworking guy. You've just got to realize, but Justin, I'm going to say this, I bet you're broke. Just reading this letter tells me I'd be willing to bet a large sum of money. You've got to recognize that these beliefs that you've put in this email, they're going to keep you broke for the rest of your life. All right. I appreciate the email and sorry to be so harsh, but this is just, there's some terrible stuff in here that's going to destroy your life. Okay, we got to go to break. When we come back, we'll answer more emailed questions and the phone lines are open for you right now. 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Thanks for listening.
Is your money safe from a down market? Hi, I'm Steve Davis of Total Wealth Academy. Were you told it's normal to sometimes lose money in a down market? That's not true. Our clients make money in both the up and down market while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $50,000 or more of investable assets, you should consider passive real estate investing to protect and grow your money. Visit gettotalwealth.com and click the free sample class to learn more. That's gettotalwealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and we're in the middle of answering some questions. This one's kind of tough from Billy. I'm going to tell you, Billy, apartment cap rate calculation is simple when you're doing it just based off of the asking price and the income and the expenses. It's very easy. Understanding what the cap rate means is more difficult. So thank goodness you just asked me how to calculate it. So here it is, Billy. If you got a pen handy, write down this. All income, all. This would be laundromat, parking, locks, security fees, all income. Every single penny of income that comes into your apartment complex annually, that's your total income. Then you subtract all expenses except the mortgage. Okay? So I hope you're writing this down. All expenses except the mortgage. This would be garbage, gas, electric, taxes, insurance, maintenance, management fees, staffing, everything. Every expense that you have in the last 12 months, again, annually, you subtract from the income. Then you divide it. Let me make sure I got this right before I say this. Let's say you have $400,000 NOI. Oh, by the way, the term is after you do that, you take all your income, subtract all of your expenses. That's the net operating income. Net operating income. You then take your mortgage out of the net operating income, and that gives you your cash flow. So people need to be very careful that you don't misunderstand NOI. That's not your cash flow. The mortgage still has to come out of that. What's left after the mortgage is your cash flow. That's the money you put in your pocket. So, oops, I did that wrong. So $400,000, let's say that's the NOI. And let's say that we're going at this backwards, Billy, so bear with me. You want to figure out what that property's worth. You would say, well, let's say a 6 cap rate. You would then divide the $400,000 by 0.06, and that would come up with $6.67 million is what that property's worth. To come up with the cap rate, you need to know the sale price. So what you do is you take your NOI, $400,000, and divide it by the $6.7 million. And guess what it comes up to? 6%. So I hope this is making sense. All you do is once you've determined the NOI, divide it by the sale price. That gives you your cap rate. The challenge comes when you get all excited, Billy, and you accept a deal where it comes out a 4 cap rate. Maybe that would be $8 million. You agree to pay $8 million for the property. So $400,000 divided by $8 million. Now, that's just a 5 cap rate. You could probably get by with a 5 cap rate at a bank. I've seen as low as 4. But Billy, if you overpay for that property, the bank is going to come in and go, Billy, this thing has a 3 cap rate. You can't even cover the mortgage. There's no profit here for you, Billy. We're not going to finance this for you. So does it make sense when in the long run, if you're trying to buy a property, who sets the cap rate? The doggone bank. Because you can come in all day long. Oh, it's a great deal, 3% cap rate. The bank's going to go, no, we're not financing it. Thank you. So really, they are dictating. You may have to get up to a 6 cap rate, lowering your offer to get up to a 6 cap rate before they say, look, we'll finance this at 6 cap. So they've really determined the cap rate. But it sounds like you're just looking at a property to buy and you want to determine the cap rate, then use the formula I gave you. All expenses subtracted from all income leaves your net operating income. Your net operating income divided by the asking price will tell you what cap rate they're trying to sell it at. And remember, if it's 2-3 cap rate, that's not a deal. It's not going to happen. And I don't even like deals at 4 and 5% cap rate, to be honest with you. I think you need to be at 5, 6, and anything above that is wonderful. So I hope that helps, Billy. Don't make it too complex, and I'll email you after the show to make sure that I was clear in my answer. All right, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Tanner is the next email question, getting lenders for multifamily. Now, you're really doing single family. Remember, four units and below is single family. Duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes are considered single family. So just about any lender, if they're investor friendly, Tanner, can do this deal. Your problem is, Bank of America, and I don't know this other bank, but these banks claim to be investor friendly, but they're really not. You know, Wells Fargo, Chase, all these big banks, they really like to lend to dumb owner occupants. People who are, duh, I'm going to buy a home to live in, I'll pay whatever. That's what they like, Tanner. They don't like you. And I can prove it. Do you know that if you use one of my mortgage companies, the down payment on a $200,000 house can be as little as 20 grand in today's market? In a down market, it might be zero down. But in today's market, 20, 25 grand. Do you know that if you went to your good buddies over at Bank of America, that same deal would be $67,000 down? The first thing you need to do, Tanner, is join a real estate investor club and get around real estate investor-friendly mortgage companies. That's where they're all at. And you can cut your down payments by 60, 70%, allowing you to buy more houses, more duplexes, than you could if you stick with Bank of America. And this is nothing against Bank of America. It's just flat out, as great a bank as they are not investor friendly. They want you to pay for the down payment. They want you to pay all closing costs. They want you to pay all rehab costs out of your pocket. Our banks at Total Wealth Academy, they will finance the purchase price, the rehab, and in some cases, even the closing costs. So Tanner, join a real estate investor group. I do not recommend Bank of America, Wells Fargo, or Chase for investor lending. Okay, this has been the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Remember, if you've got a question for me and you didn't get through today, feel free to email me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit GetTotalWealth.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.